This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. In ordinary times, the Port Townsend Main Street program serves as an essential behind-the-scenes booster for the economic well-being of the town's commercial prospects. From keeping the uptown and downtown retail districts spruced up with everything from hanging flower baskets to holiday decorations, to luring tourists to town with programs like the Concerts on the Docks and the Uptown Street Fair, the volunteers and staff of the nonprofit organization work tirelessly year-round to keep the local economic engine purring. But these are not ordinary times, and like the rest of the economy, the Main Street program has been forced to curtail much of its activity. This week on The Compass, we check in with Main Street Program Director Mari Mullen about how the town's businesses and their biggest booster are doing. So now, let's go inside The Compass. So I'm talking today with Mari Mullen, who is the director of the Main Street Program here in Port Townsend, And I'm just calling you, Mari, today to, sort of check in and find out how Main Street is doing. I mean, how our merchants are doing. I've been spending quite a bit of time, actually, in downtown and noticing that, shall we say, there's always lots of parking available. It does not look like summer in Port Townsend, really.
Right. It's been a different situation on the weekends, but it is slower during the week for sure. And I don't know if we should back up and just talk a little bit about what Main Street is and all that. And there's definitely huge impacts for our business district. You know, we are our purview is uptown and downtown historic districts, and our Main Street program, you know, has four volunteer committees who work in organization, promotion, design, and economics. So our projects are spread throughout that. And the COVID crisis has also just affected our nonprofits, which, you know, it's affected us because we cannot do our large events. And we determined that we could not really do Concerts on the Dock and the Uptown Street Fair. And, you know, we've canceled a number of things. And then that actually is also a way to bring foot traffic and people and circulation and business. So, you know, the restaurants, you know, sometimes would add staff people on after Concerts on the Dock because so many people would go filter then to the restaurants and have a late dinner or whatever. So it's, you know, an ecosystem, and it has just been a really challenging time. And we are now, you know, in phase two, waiting to get to phase three, but it's really been hardening for me to see that, you know, since the mandatory masking requirement went in, when you come downtown now or uptown, you really do see a lot more people wearing masks. Like, it's, you know, there's always the occasional person that's not wearing a mask, but mostly, you know, it just seems like compliance has really soared up, which is great. And I know one of the restaurants told me that, you know, instead of there being a conversation about it once an hour, now it's gone to once a day, which is, you know, progress.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I was going to say that our Main Street program, you know, in those four areas, we, you know, we work on the physical beautification of town. You know, we work in the gardens downtown. We adopted Adams Street Park, you know, in 2005, so we work there, and we this year we did not really have a hanging basket program because merchants didn't sign up for that because the budgets were so tight. So there's just a few flower baskets around town, but we hope to do that again next year. And then we normally do from 20 to 25 events a year, which bring, you know, anywhere from 12 to 13,000 people to town. So that has really been...
So all of those events have been canceled. You're not doing...
Well, for the summer, you know, we didn't do Art Wave, which is in May, which is the children's art in the stores, because school was, you know, not in progress.
Right.
And then we didn't do the Taste of Port Townsend, which is normally 200 people come for that. And we didn't do concerts on the dock, and we are not going to do the Uptown Street Fair, which would have been the 30th annual. And then we, our fall events, we're still hoping to be able to reformat Girls Night Out and do it, and we're not really sure the downtown trick-or-treat, the decision hasn't been made yet, but it's not looking likely. And then just all the other, you know, port towns and events, I mean, Centrum canceling its summer season, and, you know, the R2AK and the Wooden Bell Festival and the Film Festival, I mean, it's just a huge list of, you know, organizations that have had to cancel. Key City Public Theater, you know, there are just so many things. The Thing Festival at Fort Worden. So all those events really brought a lot of business to town and hotel guests and customers to the shops and restaurants. And so it's just, it's a big loss. So everyone is needing to be flexible and creative and inventive. And we have been really making an effort to support businesses by having tons of information about COVID resources on our website and then pushing that out to our e-newsletter and writing newspaper perspectives and lending street furniture to the Open Streets Initiative. So we can talk a little bit more about that. And then, you know, we have some loan programs that we've put out there. And we collaborated with KPTZ and the Chamber and the EDC to promote takeout with a restaurant campaign for local eats. So that was something to just keep people thinking about the restaurants, because there's 40 restaurants in town, you know, and not all of them did the takeout and the curbside, but many did, and so that was a huge help. And then we did a survey in conjunction with the Chamber and the EDC about whether we should move in from phase one to phase two, so that was really a way to get a read for businesses, and we're collaborating with the Chamber on the Jeffco Cares campaign, which is a mutual respect campaign about really, you know, signing a pledge and wearing masks and using hand sanitizer and just promoting all the social distancing. And, you know, we're also participating on the Chamber Cafe meetings, and we are participating on the revitalization, the County Revitalization Task Force, and the Washington State Main Street meetings. And then the other thing is, we just would really love to see every website, every business have a website, so we, and every business to really take advantage of social media, because that's a way to keep connecting with your customers. And so we offered a workshop with Jill Andrews from Certified Folder with the Chamber in June, and then we have another one that was social media, and then this, at the end of this month, July 28th, we're going to do one on getting a free website up, or just taking a look at your website and how can you improve it. And that's just another tool that everyone can be taking advantage of.
So let's talk a little bit about the transition from phase one to phase two, and you know, like how helpful or not helpful that was to, oh, like the restaurants and so on.
It was helpful for restaurants because they could have people inside, you know,
right?
And then there was limited non-essential travel allowed, you know, for the permissible activities, and there could be in-store purchases with retail, you know, instead of just doing curbside. And so you really could notice that people felt more comfortable being out and about, but they're, you know.
Yeah, but I was just wondering whether there was really like an upsurge of people willing to go into restaurants and so on. I mean, I know that I personally am still quite nervous. I mean, knowing that, you know, it seems now that most of the transmission or all of the transmission almost is happening in indoor spaces. So I think people are wary.
There is that, and you know, it's really one of the reasons for the Open Streets Initiative and for the restaurants to be able to get these free permits, these free special event permits from the city to do street eateries. And so now you can do outdoor dining, you know, in the parking spots adjacent to these restaurants at the Silverwater Cafe and the Old Whiskey Mill and Alchemy and Tommyknockers and Elevated and Better Living through Coffee and the Cellar Door, Docs has outdoor dining. There's a lot of outdoor dining we are lucky with, and that has made a big difference. On the weekend, it's been, you know, much more active. But, you know, when I checked in with restaurants, I mean, one restaurant is at, you know, like 70% of the business of normal sales versus last year, and then like finer dining, it's more like 65% of normal sales. So it is down, and one retailer who's really representative said that she's about 40% down this year versus last year. So it's in a hotel that I talked to, said they were at about 32% of their capacity versus 77% in 2019. So, I mean, it's a big hit. And if I can get the message out there for people to mask up and come to town and do socially distanced shopping, the retailers are, if you try on an outfit, then they will quarantine the outfit for 24 hours, and everyone sanitizes their hands when they come in, and they wear their masks, and they're cleaning down the spaces. So hygiene is just a top priority, and it's the restaurants, it's the same. I mean, they're very attentive to all the protocols, and I think Port Townsend is a great place to sit outside and just enjoy the water view, or just enjoy the ambiance of being in town and dining out, and whatever we can do to be supporting our local entrepreneurs, we would like people to consider that.
Do you have any way of actually measuring the sort of tourist traffic this year by comparison to last? I mean,
the city actually tracks the lodging tax, but there's a lag with that reporting, so it'll be a couple of months before you know how this month is. But I did check in with a couple of hotels, and they, the weekends, like, they actually will get walk-in traffic, and it was actually pretty good, like 4th of July weekend, it was pretty strong, but then, people are not making reservations for August like it would have been, or like the Thing Festival last year sold out all the hotels, so it's different, and it's just people are they're feeling cautious, and so that's a factor, for sure. And what was I going to say? It's just that it's a different dynamic now, and it's not as busy. It is easier to circulate in town, and there is parking, and also we just can also totally promote the gift certificate concept for people if they and also the curbside, service. If they don't want to go inside a store, they can call ahead, and if they say what they need, people will be flexible about taking care of them.
Are most of the restaurants still offering curbside as well, or have they gone to indoors?
The ones that are doing curbside, I know about Howard Sandwiches and the Tin Brick and Kurb Thai and the Fountain and Lahani's Deli and Oh Yummy Frozen Yogurt and Waterfront Pizza. I know those are all doing it. So there's lots of choices.
Good. And how about... How many businesses shut down altogether? I mean, just didn't make it through.
Aldridge's had closed, early on in this.
But I hear they're resurrecting. I mean, they're being resurrected.
I think the specifics have not been, we don't know the details there yet, but that is promising news on the horizon. And then I heard about one restaurant that closed, but that might be opening in a different format. But also, summer is typically when you would make your strongest income. So
right.
it would be more likely that in November, December, you would, know more like a scenario that someone was deciding to not go forth,
Right. How about employment levels? I mean, how's Main Street itself doing? I caught you at home yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but I guess that you're just not like working in the office and
right. We're working remotely for the governor's guidelines, and hope to be back downtown in phase three. In terms of how this has affected our program, we earn income through our events and through sponsorships and, concerts on the dock. We have a really busy beer, wine, and cider garden, and we have Taste of Port Townsend as a fundraiser for our program that, 15 restaurants would typically participate and donate their time and product for that, and so those are all fundraisers that we haven't been able to do. So it definitely affects the bottom line, but also, as I mentioned before, just the people and the foot traffic and the circulation and the visibility for town that those events create, you know, has a real positive benefit. But there just wasn't a way to do those safely and with social distancing when you have a crowd of, you know, couple thousand people, you know. So, but one thing that came out of the conversation, we had a great meeting with about 12 different people, board and committees, and just some other nonprofit directors and fans of Concerts on the Dock and Uptown Street Fair. And after an hour-long conversation, we decided we couldn't go ahead with those events, but what we could look at doing was just some small, you know, mini performances, arts and music performances. And so we have created an event for phase 3 and phase 4 called PT, Portenton Safe and Sound, and we'll just have solo artists or maybe, you know, one or two artists, you know, performing at a variety of locations. So they're like pop-up performances, and then we will hand out masks and hand sanitizer as long as our supplies last. And it was actually funded by two of our lead sponsors for Concerts on the Dock, and Homer Smith Insurance and James Doros Law Firm just said, well, can we sponsor that instead, because we want to support the businesses. So I've been able to hire about 25 musicians, you know, or 25 music slots to do that. So we're looking forward to that in phase 3 and 4, just for some little bit of local color, and, you know, for Thursdays and Saturdays from 2 to 3, and masks will be required. And it's just a way to support musicians and KCPT or some of the performing artists that are part of that. Look on our ptmainstreet.org website about the upcoming schedule for that.
Key City Public Theater is part of that.
Yep. And then the other thing, I just think people, if they haven't been to town recently, that if they did come, they would see that the city's Open Streets Initiative is in play, and it is, you know, they've got extra picnic tables at the Cotton Building Plaza and Pope Marine Park, and they've created a little parklet next to the Adams Street Park there with extra picnic tables, so you got a view of the water right there. And then also extra picnic tables at Tyler Street Plaza. And then our green Main Street furniture, some of that furniture has been moved over to Taylor Street, and for a couple of the long weekends like Memorial Day and 4th of July, we had just some mini parklets on Taylor Street. Actually, for the Memorial Day, we actually had the city had closed Taylor Street, so it was just a pedestrian street. But then for the 4th of July, there were just some mini parklets there. But then there's just extra seating, which is cool. And, you know, people can get a to-go item and then just go sit in all that extra space that just has a nice feel to it and has social distancing at its heart.
Yeah, that's really nice. So that's still the street's still closed, right? And
no.
Oh, it's not.
No, that was just that 4th of July. And the street wasn't closed, but it just had some of the parking spots marked off for additional seating. So just created some extra space. But now it's back to normal. And then on 4th of July, they actually had the street closed by the museum and City Hall, so people could just view the Black Lives Matter mural there.
Uh-huh.
So close up. So that was, but that was just a temporary thing. And the streetery concept, you know, is just really through September. So it's a temporary thing, but it's just to help with the social distancing and take advantage of the nice weather and give people a creative option to support business.
Yeah, that's really great. So,
And retailers could take advantage of that if they wanted to have some product on the sidewalk or in an adjacent parking spot, and they just need to apply to the city. So, and the other thing that we're working on, you know, if you want to talk about the Main Street projects, is that we're working on repurposing those wayfinding signs that the city has had that you have in the past listed the businesses, but they were not as utilized as they could have been. So those are going to be remade into a historic signage interpretive project.
Oh, yeah?
And so that'll be late fall, hopefully, and so that will be more of a self-guiding experience, which we are aware that people, you know, they're not wanting to do things in large groups, but a self-guided experience would be something that we think will be popular. And then,
so are they going to have, like, sort of historical information? Are you working with...
It's Hidden History, it's called, and then we're working with the Jefferson County Historical Society and Olympic Peninsula STEAM and the city of Port Townsend on that project. So it's it'll just take, you know, different... the different signs, and then talk about things that were there, you know, and historically, and be illustrated with photos and facts, and have a website that it connects to as well. And then we're also working on a self-guided Port Townsend trivia hunt that's an app as well, so people can sign up for that. So
a Port Townsend trivia hunt, sort of like...
Yeah, like just a fun way to go through town and look for different clues and learn a little bit about history and fun things about Port Townsend's past and present. And what else? We are...
Are you doing any of the sort of walking tours that you've done in the past?
You know, the museum does walking tours, but they're not quite open yet till phase three. So I believe they have plans for that, and Shelley Levins would be a great person for you to talk to get the updates. And they actually, you know, used to be doing the tours for the cruise ships, but those are not coming this summer either with all the COVID impacts.
I guess the cruises probably aren't happening at all, right?
Well, at least not through the summer, but I haven't heard an update for fall. And then I guess one of the projects that we're just looking forward to is the Port Townsend Creative District and getting going on that, and that is going to... to support creative entrepreneurs uptown, downtown, and at the fort. And it's the planning's really just begun because we just got the designation in May for that, but we through Arts Law. But we've got a group of people together that are super interested in working on it, so that's happening. And then in the fall and winter, you know, we do winter lighting, and we will expand upon that. And
You do winter what? That you
got? Lighting. You know, we had last year we lit up 50 street trees, and this year.
Oh, right! Wow.
Because there's power in the new trees in the former construction zone from 2018 from Taylor to the ferry dock. There's power in the trees, so we'll be able to do another 50 trees. So there should be 100 trees with lights.
There's power in the trees. They actually have
that, in the the tree well.
Tree well. Okay.
Yeah. And then. Yeah, then we just light a magic wand, and then the trees start. And then, there's a lot of elements of the holiday promotion that we think we still can do, you know, with the lighting. We light up the bell tower, and, you know, some of the buildings have lights on them, and City Hall, and the Pope Marine, and the Cotton Building. And then we still can do the Merchant Window Contest, and we have some new ideas about the Gingerbread Contest. And there's, you know, we could still do Small Business Saturday, so... whether we're in phase three or phase four by December still remains to be seen, but we feel there's some ways we can still keep it fun and happening and jolly in the winter.
I mean, I guess any sort of event where you're getting a crowd together, though, you have to think carefully about how you do that. I mean, like the tree lighting ceremony, for example. I mean, hopefully by then maybe we can see... like cases have, you know, like dwindled to nothing.
Right.
That would be great.
And also, I mean, that is an outdoor event.
That is true,
we're thinking on all these things. And, you know, people just might want to, you know, well, how can we help businesses? I get that question on Facebook a lot. And really how you can help businesses is to keep your money local and dine out and get takeout and treat yourself to gift certificates or new dress, new shirt, new shoes, and then, you know, we also just encourage people to support our local nonprofits as well, and if they want to send us a donation to help us buy masks and hand sanitizer, we would totally put it to good use. If they want to help us buy more street furniture or become a member, we would welcome all those. And also, you know, we'd like to support artists, and if people wanted to send in anything to help with art supplies for artists in need, that's another thing that we're interested in helping with.
have you worked with the arts community much in the past? I mean, I've always perceived Main Street as being really sort of merchant-oriented. But
you know, we're actually a community nonprofit that supports the historic districts, but we have, you know, through our Art Wave and PT, we're the umbrella organization for PT Artscape, which supports the Arts in the Schools program, and so we do fundraising for them, and then through this creative district, you know, it really is a way to connect more with artists, and there's just some more opportunities with the creative district designation for some grants that we want to apply for, and so there's some ideas we are hatching about that and opportunities, so yes, people to stay tuned.
And of course, the concerts on the docks have been very supportive of musicians.
Yeah, I figured out last year between concerts on the dock and the Uptown Street Fair, we hired about 80 musicians. So yeah, right. That's definitely.
And these,
we connect with Key City Public Theater and partner with them, and they are really helpful with our holiday campaign. And you know, we worked with them during the construction project doing street theater, and we're working with them again on this PT Safe and Sound. So lots of ways to connect the creativity of artists with the historic districts, and we always try to keep our eye on that.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time today, Mari.
Yes, I appreciate this opportunity to speak with you, Steve, and we are big fans of KPTZ, so we try to share your news when you've got it, and we hope people will just stay in touch with us, and if they have any questions, they can email us or, you know, reach us through our website. So it's ptmainstreet.org.
ptmainstreet.org, and the email address?
director@ptmainstreet.org.
All right.
And wear a mask and order takeout. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Bye. With Port Townsend Main Street Program Director Mari Mullen, this is Steve Evans for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.